20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Always appreciate your support and being here, liking the content, subscribing, all those beautiful things. I would not be here without you, so thank you so much for everything you do every single day. Shout out, first of all, to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast Hall of Fame member, Carla Delgado. Carla, thank you so much for signing up to be a Hall of Fame member. Hope you're enjoying all the extra perks. And of course, you will be on the Wall of Fame shortly. I apologize in advance. Did not get to update the Wall of Fame before recording today, but that will happen in the very near future. But Carla, thank you so much for signing up. What I wanted to go over today is sort of a juxtaposition to yesterday's episode. So yesterday talked about how we all kind of wanted a brand new shiny toy on offense. We did not get a brand new shiny toy on offense yet. There is still a draft that is available for Green Bay. I have made the case that, hey, while we all wanted that, I think the current set of weapons is being undervalued in Green Bay. And I do think they have a really nice core of talent overall, and they sort of proved it a season ago, even in a down year, still being a top 10 offense by any metric that you want to look at it, and certainly better than that in the second half of 2023. So I made that case yesterday. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, I definitely recommend doing so. But today we're going to go kind of in the opposite direction and say, all right, you still want weapons. I would still be cool with weapons. Anything that you can do to help out the offense more, I'm all for. I am certainly not against that. And what I wanted to do today is try to find any way possible and imaginable that Green Bay could still upgrade this roster, specifically on the weapon front, wide receiver, tight end, running back, and get Jordan and this offense even higher powered for what they are going into this season. A couple things here. One, when I say weapons, we're still primarily talking about wide receivers. The tight end position is pretty solid as is, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Running back, there's really no real opportunity there. So we're primarily talking about wide receivers there. The other thing that I want to say is don't take this one ultra seriously today. And what I mean by that is this one is probably meant to have a little bit more fun. This is probably somewhere today in between the you do realize this isn't going to happen, right? And I'm not also going to go all the way and just be like, hey, they should trade a seventh round pick for Ja'Marr Chase. Like, we're not going to go that absurd. I'm going to still try to keep this in the realm of reality as much as possible, while also understanding there's probably not anything that I'm going to suggest here today that the Packers are actually considering doing. So some of these ideas flat out are bordering on, I don't know. I don't want to say ridiculous, but you're going to think some of them are stupid. I can pretty much promise you that going into it. Some of these you're not going to like at all. Others you might be like, oh, okay, that's kind of a good idea. I tried to think as outside of the box as possible, just being totally honest, of like, how can you possibly find? Guys, I went through everything. I went through everything that you could, I went through every single roster, all 31, to figure out like, all right, is there a wide receiver that could be available here somewhere that could make sense? Is there a wide receiver that this team could be willing to get rid of? Is there a team that is in desperate need of an offensive tackle? Like, maybe they would be willing to give up a weapon if you'd be willing to trade Rashid Walker. I don't even want to trade Rashid Walker. I don't like, I know I've seen this out there like, oh, trade Rashid. I want as much depth along the offensive line as I could possibly have. But I went down that wavelength of like, is there a Rashid Walker trade where some team is so desperate at left tackle that they'd maybe be willing to give up a really nice piece at wide receiver to get that left tackle? I went through everything, and I mean everything, to try to exhaust every possible way imaginable to upgrade the weapon group on this team. So we will go through all of the different things that I sort of went through and the best options that I could possibly come up with to still find ways. Now, the thing that I would be most surprised by, all right, as much as I made the case yesterday of like, hey, I still like this weapon group. I still think there's a lot of talent here. The thing I would be most surprised about through the remainder of this offseason, even though they already went and got Mecole Hardman, which is primary returner, and they still have a weapon group that they can go out there with right now, I would be most surprised if they did nothing the remainder of this offseason. That would be the thing that, like, if they didn't draft a single wide receiver, even if it's a fifth, sixth rounder, right? I would be pretty surprised if they just said, we're going with this group in its entirety. We're not going to add a single player. And the reason being for that is, number one, that they need competition, right? I think that is something that they have stated pretty clearly. Number two is we know how Goody loves to look forward to the next season. And you look forward to next season, Romeo Doubs, unrestricted free agent. Christian Watson is an unrestricted free agent. You're going to start having to make decisions. And I like even this year, right? Bo Melton and Malik Heath are going to have to start making like the team. They're going to have to earn it. I think both of them had to do that last year still, but they're not just going to be handed roster spots here. So like right now in 2026, you have Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed. Like that's it. And by the way, in 2027, they're unrestricted free agents. So you know Goody's going to be looking at not just the short term of this position, but the long term of this position and being like, we need to start restocking the cupboard, getting some competition, maybe getting a different flavor of wide receiver that can stretch the field. I would be pretty stunned if overall Goody did nothing at wide receiver the rest of the way, and specifically primarily in the draft, right? That's probably the way that's going to be the likely outcome here. And that was sort of my next thing here is if we're looking at what's most likely, if you're again waiting for some big move at wide receiver, that's probably not going to happen. The most likely scenario here is that they take a wide receiver somewhere between round two and round four. That, and maybe another one later, whatever, but like the most likely scenario is that Green Bay takes a wide receiver in round two, round three, or round four. I don't still think it's going to be round one. It's not impossible. Not impossible, but I think it's more likely to be somewhere between their second and fourth round pick. That they take a wide receiver that they feel like can come in and maybe make an impact right away if things go correctly. That they could maybe find a diamond in the rough. That they could maybe find somebody that can contribute right here, right now. But probably, again, not a first round pick. And if it's anything fifth through seventh, they're really not going to be able to think that they can come in and contribute in any sort of real way. At least not expect it, right? So I think the most likely scenario here is that Green Bay takes somebody in that, again, I guess their second round pick is what, around like 50 something. So 50 to 120, somewhere in that range in this draft. Now, all of that being said, let's get to the variety of different ideas that went through my head as I was looking for ways that the Packers could possibly upgrade their wide receiver slash weapon group. Here are the really bad ideas. The really bad idea, number one, well, was basically not doing anything. We talked about that already. Number two is sign Amari Cooper and pray. And it kind of takes both of those things together. I cannot tell you how much I have loved watching Amari Cooper play football, going all the way back to his days at Alabama to basically his entire career. One of my favorite wide receivers in the league. Can win in a variety of different ways, can win short, intermediate, and long, can win down the field, can win with route running, can win with athleticism. He has been a favorite of mine. He's been fantastic. And I loved him. I've loved him watching him play in the NFL. This past year was by far and away the hardest to watch for Amari Cooper. He just was not the same player. Even when given opportunities in Buffalo with Josh Allen, it just looked totally different than it had previously in his career. That being said, sometimes players have a down year or a down situation, or just, you know, maybe even Amari Cooper is thinking this offseason of like, listen, that was not me. That's not who I wanted to be. I've got to find a way to play better than that and be the player that I know I can be. And maybe he bounces back in a significant way, whether that's for Green Bay or somebody else. Maybe last year was just a blip in the radar, and that's not the real Amari Cooper, because the rest of his career has been pretty darn fantastic. But last year, especially at an older age with two different teams, it left a lot to be desired. And once you get to that age, once you get to that stage in your career, usually once it falls off, it doesn't bounce back in an aggressive way. It usually either plateaus or continues to decline. And that to me would be why I think it's a bad idea. He probably is still going to want some sort of legitimate contract because he's Amari Cooper. You look at the advanced metrics and all the advanced metrics are not great. Like this is one where if you go in that direction, it's not just sign Amari Cooper, it's sign Amari Cooper and pray that he gets back to previous renditions of Amari Cooper. And that's what you're hoping for in that situation. I don't think it's a good investment. It's not the direction I would go in. I don't think he's going to be able to, even if you find a good version of Amari Cooper, I don't think he's going to be that field stretcher and I don't think he's going to be a star. So I don't think that that's a really good direction to go in. And then bad idea number three, again, number one, do nothing. Number two, just sign Amari Cooper and pray that he gets back to form. Number three is trading for Brandon Ayuk. He does seem to be available. Whether or not San Fran would be super geeked about trading him to Green Bay might be another conversation. It might be something that they don't really care about. Maybe they don't fear Green Bay to the extent that they wouldn't trade Ayuk if that's the best deal that they can get. Who knows? But This is another player. I love watching Brandon Ayuk play. I thought going into the contract year last year in 2023, he was fantastic. He was an absolute stud. And if you would have asked me at the end of 2023, if Green Bay could go after Brandon Ayuk, I'd have been like, hell yeah, absolutely. Go get him. Do everything you can to go find a way to get him on your team. The issue is he's got the contract holdout. Then he comes back. He's got a couple little injury issues here and there. Does not look good, you know, going into 2024. Like it didn't look like he was anywhere near himself, and then got injured again for the remainder of the season. And now you have this massive contract that he got from San Fran this past year. And it should probably be a tell to you that San Fran's already looking to get off of that contract. Like they've realized like, oh, we probably paid a little bit too much here. And we just saw what happened last year. There's an injury issue. Even before the injury, he did not look like himself. So this would be another one where like if they did it and you got the Brandon Ayuk from 2023, holy crap, does it change the offense in a real legitimate way. But there's enough sort of scary stuff from 2024 with a massive contract attached to it that I'm just like, I think I just stay away. I don't know that I want to be on the hook for that if I'm Green Bay. It's not the most terrible, worst, no good, very bad idea in the world. It would be one of those where if Goody actually pulled the trigger on it, especially knowing his pro personnel side and how good they are at it, I'd be pretty excited. There seemed to be every indication that Goody was very interested in Brandon Ayuk in that 2020 draft. So maybe something could be done there. I just think with that contract coming off of injury, it's probably not the right idea to go in. So it's an idea. It's something. And I have seen others that have maybe made the call for it, have some level of interest. But I just can't quite get there. I think I would let San Fran sit with that deal. And maybe he goes out and tears it up for San Fran this year. And you look back at him like, oh, they could have got him. Imagine what that could have been. But I don't know that I'd be willing to risk it if I were the Packers. All right, here were the ideas then. Those were sort of my not great ideas. These were ones still that, again, I'm not sure how excited you're going to be by some of these. But these were the ones that I was able to kind of find and make some sense of. Number one. As much as I would love to go find a wide receiver, it's a very difficult thing to do, but there is one weapon that's out there that just won a Super Bowl that is on the trade market, and that is Dallas Goedert. A variety of different things that we need to consider here. Number one, is Philly going to be super excited about trading Dallas Goedert to Green Bay? Number two, you've got Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. What does Dallas Goedert do for you? And I understand that argument. I really, really do. My counter argument here would be the idea of Luke Musgrave has been way better than Luke Musgrave so far. And your idea in getting Luke Musgrave and obviously Tucker Kraft was that this idea of having a really good 1-2 tight end punch, but that has not happened yet. I actually toyed with, you know, and I should clarify here, the trade that I had in mind was trading Jaire Alexander for Dallas Goedert. Both of these players are on the block. Both of them are not sure that they're going to get the sort of draft pick compensation that you want for them. Philly might look at it and say, hey, we just drafted Quinyon Mitchell and we just drafted, you know, Cooper DeJean. But, you know, Keely Ringo and the other corners there in Philly are not great. And does not this sound like something that Howie would do is maybe buy low on a really talented corner in Jaire Alexander and hope that you can bring him in and get the most out of him? It very much seems like a Howie type move. Now, they're, again, very open to moving Dallas Goedert. The sort of rumored draft compensation is probably somewhere between a fourth and a fifth round pick. And I think what Green Bay is hoping for Jaire Alexander is a probably fifth round pick. Maybe Green Bay has to add in a sixth or seventh round pick or something like that, whatever it might be. But I think this deal sort of even straight up does make some sense. And they both kind of save face of like, well, we're giving up Jaire, but what are we going to get in return? If it looks like a sixth round pick, is that like, it kind of looks like we have mud on our face. And if you're Philly and you're trading away Dallas Goedert, it feels like maybe if you get nothing or a sixth round pick in return, it feels like it's not a great return, but maybe a swap for both does maybe help both. So they get Jaire, they're off of Dallas Goedert, which they're trying to do anyway. They help their secondary. They lost Darius Slay, remember? That's not nothing. They brought in Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson is not going to solve anything right now in Philly. Like, he's a decent depth signing and maybe he plays well, but you're not counting on that. I do think Jair makes some sense for Philly. As far as Green Bay, maybe they're not super keen on trading Jair to Philly either. But in this case, you get back a really fun weapon on offense. Now, again, the idea of Luke Musgrave is fun, but he hasn't shown that in 2 years. He's been oft injured. And even when he's not been injured, he's not been a red zone threat. He's not been a deep threat. He's not been an over the middle threat. He's not been a run after the catch threat. The idea has been greater than the actual product on the field. Again, one other trade that I thought of here was, would you do Musgrave for Goddard? And that's another interesting one. They get the younger, cheaper tight end that can maybe evolve, and Green Bay gets the player who can help them right now. 1 year left on the Musgrave deal made it so that I don't think it's attainable, and just it doesn't feel right to trade Musgrave for Goddard on a one-year deal. But the Jair one is a little bit more interesting. This gives you another year to sort of develop Luke Musgrave if you need it, and hopefully you can sort of come on and you have three different tight end options in this offense. But the idea here would be Tucker Kraft and Dallas Goedert give you a really fun two tight end set. Both of them can block. Both of them can catch. Dallas Goedert gives you some run after the catch ability. He gives you red zone ability. He can break tackles. Like, that is a fun two tight end set in Green Bay. Goedert and Kraft would be really, really fun with Josh Jacobs in the backfield. And then, you know, what you do at wide receiver, you could do a two tight end on one side, right? So Kraft and Goddard are on one side. Jacobs is in the backfield. Jaden Reed still plays in the slot on the other side. And then you could go Romeo Doubs or Dontavian Wicks as your other wide receiver. And that allows you a very fun 12 personnel, especially with Reed in the slot, because you can motion him and have him do the fake handoffs and reverses, or just take a handoff or reverse as well. And then again, you've got, whether it's Dontavian Wicks or maybe you find another wide receiver in the draft that can stretch the field a little bit, Christian Watson later in the season. I think there's some really fun stuff that you can do. And I do feel like a two tight end set that has those two players could be something that does unlock this offense in a different way. We have not seen Matt LaFleur really be able to utilize it, because usually they're one of Kraft or Musgrave have been hurt over the last 2 years. And again, the idea of Musgrave just has not come to fruition actually on the field yet. So this would be a unique, interesting way to sort of upgrade the offense, have this new 12 personnel set that I think actually could have a lot of success and make teams really defend you in a lot of different ways. And the idea also here is that you come out in a two tight end set and you've got Reed and, let's say, Doubs out there, and then you've got Goddard and Kraft at tight end, Jacobs in the backfield. They come out in a light nickel personnel. Your goal should be to really run it right down their throats. You should be able to do that. If they come out heavy, if they come in a base defense, you can spread them out a little bit more. Try to figure out some mismatches, because you do have two tight ends that can catch the ball. You've got a running back who can catch the ball. All of them can run routes, and two wide receivers out there. So it does give you some really unique flexibility as well. So a Jair Alexander for Dallas Goedert, maybe a Luke Musgrave for Dallas Goedert, although I think that's a little bit less likable. Or maybe just a draft pick for Dallas Goedert, that you could go in that direction as well. But bringing in that tight end, another weapon on offense, could make some sense for this team. Number two is an idea I've floated around. No, Justice didn't seem to make much of it, but trade a late round pick, or maybe you could do a Jair Alexander trade here as well, to the Giants for Jalin Hyatt. Jalin Hyatt was a third round pick, 74th overall in 2023. In 2023, he caught 23 passes, 373 yards with a 16.2 yard average, did not have any touchdowns, but a 16.2 yard average is very good. In 2024, he caught only 8 passes for 62 yards, no touchdowns, 7.8 yards per catch. Here's the big thing. Jalin Hyatt was a really fun player coming out of college, a super burner, deep threat, 4-4-40 guy, and was a legitimate take the top off a defense guy at Tennessee. They have had no quarterbacks in New York. Now, I don't think that's the only reason why Hyatt hasn't been successful. He has not found that groove. He's had opportunities both these past two seasons and just hasn't been able to make the most of it. But what you're looking for in Green Bay is a field stretcher. And we know right now that is a very difficult thing to find. It has been something that has basically been avoiding the Packers. And for a late round flyer, or for getting rid of Jair Alexander, to get this very talented deep threat wide receiver in Jalin Hyatt, I'm willing to take a chance on it. Now, he is 6'1", 185. The height's good enough. The weight is a little bit thin. Now, Jaden Reed's 5'11", 187. We're not looking super different here. But Hyatt is a wiry wide receiver that does not block well. You'd have to use him in specific certain circumstances. But the reason I bring this up is you need that deep threat. If you can't find it in the draft somehow, There's nobody really out there via free agency. Like, you're going to have to maybe think a little bit more creatively as to how you can find that player. And Jalin Hyatt's probably a player that you can have for the cheap, that you can bring in, maybe be that deep threat and try him in a couple different ways, maybe some certain packages within this offense. Is it a perfect fit? No. Does it solve all of your problems? No. But is it an interesting flyer as somebody who can get open deep outside? Sure. I'd be willing to take a chance on it. I'm not sure Green Bay will feel the same way. In fact, I'm pretty sure they won't. But that would be a player with a 4.4 40-yard dash, third year in his career. He's coming from New York where he hasn't had a quarterback. I'd be willing to take a chance on for a late-round pick. Number three, of all the ones I'm going to talk about, this might be the most unrealistic. But how about doubling up with your first two picks at wide receiver? And I know, just even spending the first round pick at wide receiver is like a bridge way too far. What have you heard that you want competition in this wide receiver room, that guys are going to have to earn their spots? What's the other thing that you want? You want that depth where, like, all right, you know what? The number one wide receiver might not beat their number one corner, but our number two is going to beat your number two. Our number three is going to beat your number three. Our number four is going to beat your number four. You just don't have the depth to, you know, match with the depth that we have that you don't have the depth at corner that we have at wide receiver. So spend that first round pick, whether it's a Matthew Golden, a Tet McMillan, a Emeka Abuka, or a Luther Burden, go out and get one of those guys in the first round and then bring it back in the second round. And whether it's a Trey Harris or a Jaden Higgins or a Jack Beck or a Luther Burden, maybe who's available then in the second round, you can't get two Luther Burdens. That is frowned upon. You cannot clone him and have one in the first and one in the second, but I digress. Grab one in the first, grab one in the second, and go out and let these guys compete. You want to get on the field? You're going to have to earn it, Dontayvion Wicks. You're going to have to earn it, Jaden Reed. You're going to have to earn it, whoever you spend a first round pick on and a second round pick on, and so on, Romeo Doubs, etc. Like, let the competition begin. I want to see another Sports Illustrated cover of, like, oh my goodness, look at all the weapons that Jordan Love has. And it's Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft and Jaden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks and Romeo Doubs and these two rookie wide receivers. I want to see a Sports Illustrated cover of weapons. And yes, you're probably overkilling it here a bit. Maybe just the guy in the first round would be enough. But guess what? You don't know exactly what you're going to get out of these players. And we now see that these wide receivers are going for $30-40 million per year. This is now a legitimate big-time premium position in the NFL that big money is going to. And you can't have enough of them. And Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are probably gone next year. And if we're making a counterpoint to my entire exercise yesterday, you are right now without Christian Watson. You are one helmet hit away from Romeo Doubs maybe being done for his season or his career, which I'm not hoping for or speaking into existence. I want him to be healthy the remainder of his career. But you also have to be very legitimate about the head-to-head injuries that he has had already. And then you're down to, like, basically Wicks and Reed, right? So give me the competition. Give me the smoke. I want other teams to have to look at Green Bay's wide receiver room and be like, wow, they have a lot of really talented guys in that room. And again, I think that there are good weapons on this offense already. I talked about it yesterday at length. But you want to make a splash? Go get a wide receiver in the first, and then damn it, double down on it in the second and get another one in the second. Because how fun would it be if you somehow found a way to get Tet McMillan in the first round and then Jaden Higgins in the second round? And that might in of itself be even more ridiculous because McMillan's probably gone and Higgins might be gone in the second round. But talk about fun. Talk about a difference in how your entire weapon group looks. Go out and do something like that. And it is about to change things offensively in a major and significant way. Number four, this one you probably could have put in that initial one where we're talking about Amari Cooper and whatnot. Number four is take a chance on Stephon Diggs and hope that his ACL recovers well. He just took a meeting with the Patriots. He's probably not going to be available right away to start the season. You've already got Christian Watson coming off an ACL, but there's no two ways around it. Stephon Diggs has been a very good wide receiver. He was still very good with Houston, and he is quite arguably the best player on the market and would be if he did not have the ACL injury, right? And he'd already be gone and have a big contract probably if it weren't for the ACL injury. So you're taking a major risk here. You're taking a chance. He's already older. There's already been some signs of decline. Hasn't always been super happy with the teams that he's been on based on the target share that he's gotten and things like that. And now he's coming off the ACL. There's a lot of red flags here to stay away from. And I would probably recommend more than not than staying away from it. But of all the receivers that you're going to take a chance on and just know that there are like three red flags that you have to get by, Diggs would be the one to me that at least if he can come back, 80% of himself from the torn ACL at some point this year, I still feel like you're getting a really good player at that spot. Somebody that can help you towards the end of the season. And that's the thing here, right? Like, I feel confident that Green Bay is going to be able to navigate, you know, the regular season for the most part and be a playoff team. But can Stephon Diggs be, by the end of this season, pretty darn close to back to being Stephon Diggs? If that ends up being the case, you feel really good about that addition. And he would at least be somebody that I'd be willing to take a flyer on, even if in all actuality, I would probably stay away from it. If you're going to go in that direction, he'd be the one that I would go with. Number five is wait until the trade deadline. I know that might not be a popular decision, but there are a variety of wide receivers who are in the last year of their deals that if their team is not doing well, they may be available. Some of these just might not be, but it's worth noting some of these names nonetheless. Mike Evans in Tampa, last year of his deal. They just signed Chris Godwin to a huge deal. If Tampa's sitting at, you know, 3-5, 3-6, or 2-6, or whatever it might be at the trade deadline, maybe that's not super likely, but if maybe Baker gets hurt or something goes wrong, some team's willing to offer something for Mike Evans, who's in the last year of his deal, maybe Tampa considers it. Terry McLaurin's a tough one because you're in Washington. He probably gets an extension. They're probably going to be a pretty good team, but if things go the opposite direction and all of a sudden they really struggle, Terry McLaurin last year of his deal, George Pickens is in the last year of his deal. I'm not sure how big of a fit that would be in Green Bay. That's another interesting one. Chris Olave, the Saints are probably not going to be a good team. Assuming he can stay healthy and the concussion thing is not a major issue, he could be a player that if the Saints are bad at the trade deadline, they look to get off of, and I could see some team willing to make a trade for him at the deadline. Then Cortland Sutton in Denver. It's another one, getting a little bit older, last year of his career. Hopefully it's not the last year of his career, last year of his contract. And you could look at something where if the Broncos are not where they want to be, that they'll take something in return. There are a variety of, you know, wide receivers that are in that situation. There's other ones like the Browns could be looking to get off a contract and Jerry Jeudy. They're not going to have a good season and they might just be looking to recoup as many draft picks as they possibly can. There's a variety of teams that could be looking at that depending on what their record is at the deadline. And usually a wide receiver or two does become available. So it may not feel super great now, but I do think they have the weapons to survive up until that point. And if you can have some patience, maybe your best option is to wait until the deadline and see what's available then and see if you can get one of those really premium receivers that could be available at the deadline for a team that was maybe disappointing at that point in time. Number six is another trade that I floated out there. Michael Mayer for Luke Musgrave. This is just sort of a change of scenery where, listen, I want to be very, very clear. I am not ready to give up on Luke Musgrave. I think he's a massively talented tight end. I just also know it hasn't been the fit in the production that we were hoping for Musgrave. And a lot of that due to injuries, but even non-injury just hasn't looked right. Michael Mayer, there have been rumors that he is available from the Raiders, that they're looking for maybe a change there. This could be a real smart change of scenery trade for both teams. There's a good chance that Luke Musgrave with Brock Bowers and the Raiders fits really nicely together. And Mayer fits better in this Matt LaFleur offense. He's a better blocker and he started blocking already better this past season. And I do think that as a number two tight end, that he is a good fit for Green Bay just in general. And I think would potentially even be an upgrade from Musgrave specifically in this offense. So if I'm Green Bay, I probably just hold on to Musgrave and say, hey, I think he's the better weapon and we just need to figure out a way to utilize him better. But I do think you can make the argument that Mayer fits better in this offense and maybe just a change of scenery helps for Musgrave going to the Raiders and helps for Mayer coming to Green Bay. And then a couple other ones here. My second to last one, my penultimate one, if you will. Call Indianapolis and see what they're willing to give up for Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce is in the last year of his deal. He has no fifth year option because he was a second round pick. And they have Adonai Mitchell, who they just picked up last year, Michael Pittman and Josh Downs, who are all three very good wide receivers. They are actually a team that has four legitimately good wide receivers, and that's usually an odd thing. Here's the thing for Alec Pierce. Only 37 catches this past year, 824 yards on those 37 catches, 22.3 yards per catch with seven touchdowns. You want to talk about a deep threat? That is a deep threat. Now, maybe the Colts look at it and say, hey, he's going to get a massive contract next year. Let's get a young draft pick right now or a young player in return. And we'll take that, continue to build that group out. And they don't have the team to maybe compete with him right now anyway. They're trying to figure out even what their quarterback position looks like. That would be one where if I were Green Bay, I would be making a aggressive bid for his services. Now, I don't know what it would take. Romeo Doubs plus a pick, I would do. Sean Ryan plus Romeo Doubs. They have a need at right guard. That would give you the opportunity to put Jordan Morgan in at right guard. You get them a starting right guard and you give them Romeo Doubs. They get a starting wide receiver and a starting guard out of it. Green Bay gets Alec Pierce. I would consider, it's going to sound crazy, and I don't love the idea of this. I would consider calling and saying, how about Jordan Morgan for Alec Pierce? Something in that realm. Maybe Indianapolis has to give a little bit more, whatever. Again, that's a bridge too far, probably, but they get a really young, talented starting offensive lineman. You get a super talented wide receiver that can actually get deep on the outside. The issue is Jordan Morgan you have for 4 cheap years yet, and Alec Pierce you're going to get cheap for this year at $4 million, and then you're going to have to pay him a huge chunk next year. And we're talking about a guy that still only caught 37 passes this past year, but with no quarterbacks in Indy, he still caught 37 for 824. I think he is a stud waiting to happen. I loved him coming out of the draft. He is a Packers-type wide receiver all day, every day. 22.3 yards per catch. I'm doing everything in my power to make him a Green Bay Packer. And I would feel like if I got Alec Pierce on the outside with maybe Dontavian Wicks at the other spot, Jaden Reed in the slot, Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft, I'm feeling good. I feel good about that group. I really do. So I would be making an overture of figuring out any way that I could. Not overly aggressive. I'm not giving up 2 first round picks or something crazy, but I want to make Alec Pierce a Green Bay Packer. That 22.3 yards per catch is legit. Now put him with a legitimate deep ball thrower in Jordan Love. I'm cooking. I feel like I'm cooking. So that'd be the next one. And then last but not least, I've talked about this one before, trading for Darnell Mooney. The name Darnell Mooney, I know, like, immediately doesn't do anything for you. What if I told you that the difference between DK Metcalf and Darnell Mooney this past year was basically nothing? And I mean basically nothing. DK Metcalf this past year, 66 catches, 992 yards, 5 touchdowns. Darnell Mooney, 64 catches, 992 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Identical yardage, identical touchdowns, 2 less catches for Mooney, which means he had a better yards per catch than Metcalf. Mooney averaged 15.5 yards per catch, was second most in the NFL in 20-plus yard receptions, and was top 10 in yards per catch. He is a legitimate, really good deep ball threat and was a legitimately really good receiver for Atlanta last year, mostly playing with the, you know, corpse of Kirk Cousins, basically, at this point, like nowhere near the player that he was previously, and a complete rookie, inexperienced player in Michael Penix. He would fit well in the offense. He's not a great blocker. You'd have to work through that a little bit, but he would be a really, really fun deep threat for Jordan Love. The hard part here is that I don't see why Atlanta would be willing to give up Darnell Mooney. He's making less than 10 mil per year for the remainder of his contract. He's got 2 really, again, nice contract seasons left on his deal. He's been very good. He's a great deep ball threat, and they're now starting Michael Penix, who's he loves throwing the deep ball. He's a deep ball thrower all day. So why would you get rid of Darnell Mooney? If you're smart and you're Atlanta, you recognize you're not in a position to win over the next 2 years. So get what you can now. Well, Mooney's value is at its highest, and you can probably get something legitimate and that can help you build your team for the long term. I just don't see Atlanta thinking that way. So I think it's going to be really tough to pry him from them, but I would be calling if I were Green Bay. Those are my ideas. Again, the bad ones, Ayuk or Amari Cooper, or doing nothing. Most likely is they take someone second, third, or fourth round. My outside of the box crazy ideas, Jair Alexander for Dallas Goedert, a late round picker, Jair Alexander for Jalen Hyatt, double up at wide receiver in the first and second round, take a chance on Stephon Diggs, wait until the trade deadline, hope a big name comes available at wide receiver then. Luke Musgrave for Michael Mayer, trade for Alec Pierce, or trade for Darnell Mooney. Those are my ideas. That's what I got for you. You're going to hate some of them, maybe a couple of them you like. I don't love a lot of these, if I'm being honest. But if we're looking at ways to go out there and upgrade your wide receiver room in a significant way, or your weapons in a significant way, this is about the best that I could come up with out there. And again, maybe your best option is just wait until the trade deadline, because there likely will be at least somebody who comes available. The truth is they're going to probably have to upgrade this via the draft, likely a day 2 or day 3 selection. It is going to be draft and develop, or maybe this year a little bit of draft and pray as well. draft somebody round 2, 3, or 4 and pray that they can come in and make an impact, be a deep ball threat, and maybe change up this offense in some legitimate way. Those are my ideas. I hope you hate them. Hopefully you enjoy just my outside of the box thinking. Again, some of them are okay. Some of them I like. Some of them I'm not really a fan of. But again, as I scoured the league and looked for ideas of any way that you could attack this, this is the best that I could come up with. Roast it in the comments if you must. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keith, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, and Carla Delgado. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.